Hello and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
My name's Jen, and on today's show we're going to talk about The Adventure Begins, so stay tuned.
Welcome back, and we hope you had a very happy Easter with your friends and family, and that you had a wonderful time with your church family. Did you have a good Easter, Jen? I'm laughing because we're pre-recording.
I'm anticipating a good Easter so far. I've had one Easter dinner, and I'm having one on Easter Sunday and one on Easter Monday. So yes, I'm anticipating a great time of food and fellowship.
And fellowship.
Yes, we are excited about Easter Sunday. And and so here we are talking about Easter and coming. But what does it all mean? Like, so often people are asking the question, what does it mean? And I had one young girl come up to me, and she's in grade 7, and she's like, Pastor Jen, I was able to explain what Good Friday and Easter meant. And I was like, yeah, because she doesn't come from a home that they attend church a lot.
Right.
And she's very new to coming to church, and she was just so excited that she was able to explain the purpose of Easter and Good Friday and why they're so important. And you could just tell she was so excited to share. And, you know, sometimes when you've been in the church a long time, you can be like,
yep, it's Easter.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen. I know the story.
Yeah.
I know the story. It's easy to become a little disillusioned. But the reality is that people now don't actually know the story of Easter. They don't know what Good Friday means. They don't know what the resurrection means. Mm-hmm. Because it's absolutely nowhere in the media.
Right.
Well, actually, I did see something on the news for Good Friday about processions in Jerusalem, but that's all that it was on the news. It wasn't like, well, okay, so there's a guy pretending to be Jesus carrying this fake cross walking down the road. It's not like this is why he came, and personalizing the message that he came for you, because he loves you. So that's awesome that she had a chance to share.
Yeah. So, you know, and that excitement fills me up to be like, okay, right, this is why Easter is so important, because of the excitement that she was sharing.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting, though, is that the story doesn't end with Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we celebrate Christmas because Jesus came, and we celebrate Easter, well, Good Friday and Easter, because Jesus died and rose again. And those three events we need. Like, without Jesus coming, without him dying on the cross, without him being resurrection, we actually can't be in relationship with God.
Right.
And so those are very important events. Like, they needed to happen. But so often we forget, oh, what about Monday? Like, we often say, it's today's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And we're like, yeah, Sunday's coming, coming. We never say, you know, today's Sunday, but
Monday's coming.
And it's like,
no, I don't know how you feel about Monday. I mean, I don't work a Monday to Friday job, but for those who do, Monday is always kind of like a downer day.
Yes.
Back to work, back to the normal routine of things. And so Jen and I were talking about, well, what next?
Yes.
Easter has happened. What now?
Yeah.
And what were the disciples feeling? And what was the message that Jesus left with them just before he ascended into heaven? Because it can so often feel that. They feel like, well, Easter happened, Jesus is resurrected, and
now what?
And now what?
Because they really thought, you know, this was it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so really it's like the denouement in English terms. You have the climax and everything is really exciting, and then the denouement is that little like bloop after the climax.
Oh.
Yes. And so I think that they're kind of in that, okay, well, what do we do? And so we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about, and the adventure begins, because this is really the beginning of the adventure. The death and resurrection of Christ is not the end.
Mm.
It is the beginning.
It's the beginning.
It's the beginning to life with Christ for all people.
Yeah. and the church age, the establishment of the church. Yes. So much happened. I was listening to this really great discussion on desiringgod.com, and it talks about how the resurrection, how Easter, the resurrection changes everything.
Mm.
Everything. Because once you've accepted Christ, he informs all of your way of thinking because of the Holy Spirit, which we're gonna right. read about.
So I'm gonna read from the New International Version, and this is starting in Acts chapter 1. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, this is the author Luke writing, by the way, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Interesting.
But he had to give, he had to prove he was alive?
I'm laughing because I'm thinking,
you see him.
You're seeing, like, you touch him. He said, touch me. Yeah. He was eating with them and yet gave many convincing proofs that he was alive.
So I heard, totally in keeping with what you're talking about, I heard this very interesting story, not a true story, but points to an interesting fact. So there was this man, and right. he was sitting with his wife, middle-aged guy, and he started to have these thoughts that I'm dead. I'm not alive. And started to voice these thoughts to his wife and kids. No, I really think I'm dead. And his wife at first would be like, oh, don't worry about it. Just, okay, whatever. Just go home, go to work, make some money, bring it home. But every night he'd be like, no, I really think that I'm dead. And so eventually his wife and kids were like, we need to get some help. Like, right? You're just not getting it. And they tried to say, like, see, you're alive. Look, I touch you. You're alive. But he just wouldn't get it. So they took him to a psychiatrist. They took him a bunch of doctors. And they tried to show him all sorts of textbooks and reasons why he's alive, signs of life. See, you're breathing. You have a heartbeat. You can talk to me. You have a consciousness. You're alive. But still, he would say, I really think that I'm dead. So finally, one physician sat down with him and said, and explained blood and how living people bleed. And there's life in blood. And if you cut yourself, then you bleed. And then so finally, the guy was like, you know what? Yeah, I can see how if you're alive, you would bleed. And so at that point, the physician grabbed a pin and poked the guy's finger and he started bleeding. And then he said, huh, I guess dead people bleed too.
Oh boy.
Even with all this evidence, this guy could not overcome that psychological barrier that he thought he was dead. And so, you know, given that story, some people have just so many things set in their mind.
Yeah.
Against the truth.
Right. Because it says, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So obviously, more than one. Yeah. Was necessary. And I guess it's part of that aha moment. Sometimes when you're on a trip or maybe you've finally married the person of your dreams or you've gotten this amazing job and you're like, I can't believe I'm here. Is this real?
Yes.
Is this really happening?
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, pinch me. Like, is this really happening? And Jesus was like, this is really happening.
See my hands, see my side.
Yeah. Mm. Like, and he ate fish with them. Like,
so they could see him eat.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what other proofs he had to do for them.
I know. It's like, when we get to heaven. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the very in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. A couple things, I don't know what stands out to you, but the one of the things that stands out to me after the fact that Jesus actually had to prove that he was there is verse 5, where it says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they met together, asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? It's like, okay, we're going to get the Holy Spirit. So does that mean you're going to restore the kingdom?
And so what did they mean when they asked him those things? What were they hoping for in a restoration of a kingdom?
Well, see, they wanted the Israelite kingdom, as in like King David, King Solomon.
Right.
Like they wanted the earthly kingdom restored.
Like, Jesus, are you now going to sit on a throne and rule all Israel?
Which is interesting, right? Because, and that's what this beginning part says, you know, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit, like, he's teaching them, right? He's reminding them, he's teaching them. And when you read through the Gospels, never once does Jesus say, I'm about to make my kingdom here on earth, or I'm getting ready to build my kingdom on earth, or I'm amassing the funds to do this, or, you know, you're going to be my general. Like, he never once says
general
anything about, I'm going to build a kingdom here on earth. Never, 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 never. And yet, often he'll say, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. And he talks about the spiritual kingdom. And yet here they are, and they're still not getting it. Like, it's like, okay, you're giving us the Spirit, so you're going to set up your kingdom here on earth. And he's like, no, because then he goes on to say what his kingdom is. And he says, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and beyond. And it's like, no, my kingdom is not, my kingdom is not of this world. And you are actually going to go and tell people about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they're sitting there going, what?
This wasn't what we had in mind. Well, I wonder if then they thought back to in the Gospels when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that's planted in the ground. It becomes a tree so big that that birds can perch in its branches. Or what other kingdom parables were there? What else was the kingdom like?
What else was the kingdom like? And on that note, we're going to take a commercial break. Stay tuned.
There's been an incredible con that's occurred in the culture.
Evolution in millions of years is the greatest myth ever forced on the minds of men.
Big Bang, evolution, millions of years. People just believe it blindly.
How can you not believe that somebody designed all of this?
We know he exists because of creation.
Not just faith, we have science. It's really on our side.
Welcome back. Jen and I were just discussing the kingdom of God and what the disciples were expecting. So So Jesus has been resurrected, and now what? They asked Jesus, are you now going to establish the kingdom of Israel?
Right. And so Carrie asked the question, well, what did Jesus say about the kingdom, or what does, the Bible? And so we did some research to answer that question. So we found a couple of things, and we want you to be thinking about too, you know, what was this kingdom that he was coming to bring? Because that's part of this new adventure that they're on. They're like, okay, what are we actually buying into? And I think that was one of the first things that Jesus had to do, is saying, this is what the adventure is. Okay, so let's make sure we're all on the same page. Let's regroup. Okay, you think that I'm going to bring an earthly kingdom. I think that's why he's probably spent 40 days with them.
Maybe.
It's like, okay, let's get rid of all the wrong ideas, and let's get down to what I'm really calling you to, what the adventure is. And so that the adventure is the kingdom of God and sharing that news with everyone else that they too can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be part of the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? What is this kingdom he wanted them to be a part of bringing?
Yeah.
And so we came up with some few things. And so what did you discover about the kingdom?
Well, firstly, you mentioned a verse, Jen. It's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So Jesus was offering them new power through the Holy Spirit to actually share this good news with other people, and that God was going to bring about the transformation in their life.
Yep.
But he alluded to what the kingdom is like when he was speaking with them in his ministry years. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 16 talks about, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen.'"
Right.
The last will be first, and the first will be last. It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's a kingdom principle. And another thing that's another kingdom principle is that you have to become like children.
Okay.
Like, whereas for the disciples, you're like, what? Like, children are weak. They aren't seen as important in our community. They aren't given any worth. They aren't listened to.
They weren't even considered part of the family. When they were near the end of their teen years, they had kind of like a bar mitzvah kind of thing, where it was like an adoption ceremony. It's like, okay, now you are part of this family. Now you are an heir.
Yeah, and I think that happened around the age of 12, because that's where Jesus goes to the temple, and he's like, would I not have been a part of my, like, been at my father's house? Like, so yeah, you're totally right. Like, there was this idea of, okay, now you're a part of our family. And so Jesus is saying, no, that's not kingdom thinking. Like, you have to become like a child. You have to believe me. You have to submit. You have to be humble. You have to ask questions. You have to believe. And the disciples, like, with the passage that you read, I'm wondering if they were thinking there's some sort of entitlement. We have been with you since the beginning.
Yeah.
How come? And, like, what do you mean that you're not coming to establish an earthly kingdom? What do you mean that we're the ones that, you know, have to go out? And what is it that you want us to tell people? Like, okay, you have a relationship with God, but what about the right now?
Yeah.
And I think that's one. I think at the end of the passage, it says, and Jesus was taken up into heaven, and the two angels come and stand among them, just like as if they sat down on the chair beside us and said, so what are you doing?
Like, because they were still staring up. Jesus had ascended, and they were still staring. They said, what are you doing still staring up into heavens? Go now, and Jesus is going to come back the same way.
Yeah.
But essentially, in the meantime, get going.
You've been given a mission. Go.
Go and do it.
And so here's what the kingdom is. Here's what the kingdom isn't. But I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to go and, you know, fulfill what I've asked you to do. So you don't even have to do it on your own. I think so often we think we have to do what Jesus asks us to do on our own. And it's like, no, 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 no. He's sending the Holy Spirit to equip us. And that's what he was saying. He's like, wait, I will send you the Holy Spirit. I'm not giving you something you can't do.
Yeah.
Just wait. And that's why the passage ends the way it does, because Jesus is like, I can't linger any longer. I've told you everything that you needed to know. So go do it. And I think sometimes we can get caught up with the, well, could you just tell me one more time? Or what did you mean by this? Yeah. Or, and it's like, no. You have what you need.
Just go and live.
Just go and live.
Yeah. So maybe we'll just take some time to pray for that kingdom mindset, Jen. I'll just pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come, you died, you rose again.
Mm-hmm.
You provided many convincing proofs that you are indeed alive. And I thank you for that. And we see evidence of you in our own lives and in the lives of those in our church families all over the world, that you're moving and you're active through Holy Spirit. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, God, that you would help us and our viewers to have a better understanding of what that means. Would you give us that kingdom mindset, those glasses to look through, to see things as you want us to see them? That you don't operate the same way that the people of this world do, whether that comes to money or just perspective, God, but would you give us those new eyes to see? And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to chat and to learn together. And we're looking forward to continuing on in the book of Acts. So in the meantime, if you want to start reading the book of Acts until our next show, and we are going to regroup here and talk about what happened next in the Great Adventure.
In the Great Adventure. So stay tuned. If you would like to support us, please check out our website. Go to our partners page and have a look. See how you can sponsor us or how you can support us. So until then, have a great week.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.